The Trump administration is currently considering bypassing Congress to grant a $100 billion tax cut that primarily affects the wealthy, and this after last year's tax cut that primarily benefited corporations and wealthy individuals. In order to understand the current attitude towards taxation, Hudson Mohawk Magazine correspondent Mark Dunley spoke with SUNY at Albany professor Larry Wittner about the value of progressive taxation.
Wittner, who is a professor of history emeritus at SUNY Albany and also a longtime activist with the Solidarity Committee, labor activist. And I noticed recently that Larry had an op-ed, I believe in the Washington Post, around the issue of progressive taxation and too many tax cuts for the wealthy. So, Larry, what prompted you to write this particular op-ed?
Well, a former student of mine many years ago mentioned that taxes and the whole tax structure were good ways to get at who's really running things in the United States. Because if the tax system were skewed to favor the wealthy, then it would be clear that they were in control of things, since one of their highest goals was to retain their money. And in fact, they've done that very well, as the student showed me, and as my article suggests.
Well, just reading over your article, one thing I had not known was that the federal government first introduced the income tax in 1861 to cover the costs of the Civil War, but that the concept of progressive income taxes actually goes back centuries. So can you give us a little history about how the whole concept of progressive taxation evolved?
Well, for many years there were taxes, but the taxes were excise taxes. That is, they were similar to our current sales taxes, which meant that they were regressive. And poor people resented the fact that they were paying the same tax when they bought a loaf of bread that a rich person paid when he or she bought a loaf of bread. So they were being taxed on an equivalent basis when, in fact, the wealthy person, the noble or the king or just a rich businessman had so much more money that he or she could pay toward supporting public services. So gradually, poor people's movements, labor movement, the farmers movement, the populist movement of the late 19th century in the United States, and the early 20th century progressive movement adopted and pressed for the idea of progressive taxation, wherein people would pay in proportion to their income and wealth, not in proportion to what they happen to be buying.
Now, there seems to be somewhat of a contradiction within the American electorate, I guess. You know, on one hand, it does seem that the vast majority of Americans do support the concept that people should be taxed based on their ability to pay, so the rich should pay more. But yet, unfortunately, as we saw with the election of Donald Trump, there's a large percentage of Americans who believe, well, the rich are good for the economy. The better off the rich are, they're going to want to actually invest in jobs and, you know, get the economy, and that will trickle down to the rest of us. So how has that struggle between those two sort of competing philosophies worked out over time?
Well, it's worked out sometimes in terms of progressive taxation. That is, there was a time when there was none in the United States, and then when Congress actually did pass progressive taxes, the Supreme Court declared them unconstitutional. So popular pressure actually forced an amendment to the Constitution that provided the possibilities for progressive taxation. And the tax rate for the wealthy went up very substantially till it was about 91% at the end of the Second World War, and continued there till the early 1960s. But there was also a counter offensive by the wealthy and their corporations and conservative politicians who began to lower that progressivity in the federal tax system, so that within several decades, the top rate for the wealthiest people in the United States was down in the 20s and 30s, rather than at 91%. So the fortunes of the progressive tax movement have varied over time, and at this point, certainly those who believe in trickle-down economics, or even if they don't believe in it, but simply want to help the wealthy, are succeeding very well.
Now, it did seem that many Americans and economists, who prescribe to the theory of, Ronald Reagan's voodoo economics, trickle-down economics, the evidence didn't support that during the, 1980s. So how did, President Trump get away with, his massive tax cut for the wealthy he just pulled off?
Well, he had a Republican Congress, and that did it. There certainly wasn't popular pressure for the Trump administration's regressive tax cuts. Far from it. The polls showed that only about 25% of the American public supported the rich people's tax cut that Trump and the Republicans put through. When the public was asked whether they were against it, they said yes. And in fact, by overwhelming majorities, they supported raising taxes on the rich, something that, of course, Trump was not going to do.
So how does the United States' overall tax rates compare, say, to other, democracies, particularly in Europe?
Well, it varies, but they're not as high as many. On the other hand, of course, in many countries, particularly in Northern and Western Europe, the government provides a whole range of public services that people benefit from public health care, or a publicly funded system of health care for all, to college education free of charge, to paid vacations, to a whole range of other things. People benefit very substantially by the higher rate of taxation. A rate, by the way, that's not that much higher than in the United States. But, of course, in the United States, we're also paying for foreign wars of tremendous cost.
So a lot of the listening audience in WOC, certainly have our share of conservatives out there. So if you're talking to somebody from the more conservative Republican side, what are some of the arguments you can use to try to convince them why, in fact, progressive taxes make sense for them?
Well, for one thing, the vast bulk of the public, including most workers and poor people, are paying disproportionately to maintain public services. That is, they're not paying in proportion to their income and wealth. Rich people, like the Koch brothers, for example, have between them $120 billion in wealth, and yet they're leading the charge to give even bigger tax breaks to the wealthy, which means that the burden of taxation for public services falls more heavily on working people and the general public. Secondly, taxing the wealthy actually helps the economy. It takes money out of inactive bank accounts and investments in stocks, and of course the stock market's really like a giant roulette wheel. And instead, it actually forces the wealthy to invest their money, or else they're going to lose it. So that they and the government, with its increased revenue, invest in useful things, hopefully, and create more jobs. And the economy has in fact boomed when the tax rate on the wealthy has been highest.
Well, Larry, we're
after the Second World War.
We're out of time, unfortunately, and we've been talking with Larry Whitner, professor of history emeritus at SUNY Albany, and also active in the member of Solidarity Committee. And this has been Mark Dunley for WOOC.
That was Hudson Mohawk Magazine correspondent Mark Dunley talking about progressive taxes with Professor Larry Whitner of SUNY Albany. If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Hudson Mohawk Magazine on WOOC 105.3 FM.